I think we have a special guest who's supposed to be here today. He's waiting out in the green room. We haven't seen him in a long time. I think the last time we were supposed to see him and have him on the show, I came down ill, and it was going to be our drinking show. But
that's right.
Oh, I know who it is now. Yay!
But yeah, we didn't get to do that. So if someone could bring Miles L. Berman on in here. Does anybody listen to the show?
I don't think so. You can't hear the show in the hallway. Yeah. Here. We don't get the signal.
Oh, yeah, they're playing KLOS in the hallways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
Miles.
Nice. That's nice. That's good.
I'm sure he'll
come
it's
a big Memorial Day weekend, and obviously people are going to go out and celebrate.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't flying because of all the extra charges. They'll be driving, and you're going to be in your car, and there's going to be a lot more checkpoints out on the road. And so we got Miles L. Berman, who is the Top Gun DUI defense attorney, and there he is, ladies and gentlemen. Nice.
Yeah, we're driving out to the desert tonight, like after the show.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, obviously.
You're going to take a couple road sodas with you?
No, Miles taught me not to do that.
No road sodas for you. Hello, Miles. Have a seat there. Good to have you back with us, man.
Thank you. Great to be here.
The impeccably dressed Miles. He's always in a nice suit, tie, perfect hair. I've never seen you like in old ratty blue jeans laying alongside the road slobbering.
Do you own any sweatpants?
I got dressed just for you, Frost.
Oh, good.
Any honest t-shirts? Are you a t-shirt guy?
No. I used to be, but then... I outgrew him.
Yeah, you became an attorney.
Yeah, my dad always wanted me to wear t-shirts, but he gave up on it too.
Yeah, but you can't really go feel comfortable when you're hiring a lawyer and he's just wearing a t-shirt and says, yeah, I'll represent you in court, you know. I've been there. Yeah.
The Budweiser shirt.
See, this is a big weekend.
Yes, it is. You know, 2010 is the year of the checkpoint that was declared by the state of California. And there's been a ton of checkpoints throughout the year up until now. And there's going to be a whole bunch over the weekend. I'll have on my website at TopGunDUI.com. Southern California DUI checkpoints that people can go
to. And that's completely legal to do, right?
Like, well, you know, I'm actually providing a public service. So the case law requires and encourages the police departments to publicize the checkpoints. And so I'm just helping the police do their job. And by the way, checkpoints actually are, it does reduce DUI people who are drinking and driving in the area of the checkpoints, if they know where they are.
But it does increase the tickets for U-turns.
I was just going to ask you that. Like, will they chase me down if I see the... and go, oh, I've had three glasses of wine at the old company party.
We've represented a number of people and talked to a lot of people who see a checkpoint. They go, no, I don't want to go through the checkpoint. They try and take the escape route and boom. And before you know it, they're pulled over.
So the cops, they know that's what you would do. So they don't.
Trust me, I hear you, but I don't see you.
I know, monitors it's a weird in the way. In
I can't really. Anyway.
It's so like we're behind a monolith in the middle of it.
There we go. Okay.
So I guess the cops have done this right. The checkpoint is not the real checkpoint. The checkpoint is the show. But the feeder roads all around it where you would try to escape from is where the cops are waiting to grab you.
I think the whole thing is all part of the scheme because when they have the checkpoint and they also have police officers stationed at what they think are escape routes.
Aha! Sneaky bastards.
Well, they're just trying to do their job.
Now, I'm wondering because I had a friend who was coming home from this was around Christmas time, and she was coming home from a company Christmas party, and she sees the checkpoint, but that's her only way. She has to go through it to go home. And sure enough, she gets stopped, and the cop said, have you had anything to drink tonight? And she said, yeah, I've had three glasses of wine. I'm coming back from a company Christmas party. And he goes, well, we're going to go ahead and, you know, do the pen thing. And he said, watch the tip of the pen. And she said to him, what am I considering, the tip, the top or the bottom? And since she said that, like, she was, like, with it enough to go, well, just so we're clear, am I watching the top or the bottom? And he let her go.
Oh, well, of course you're watching the top. I would have totally arrested her for being stupid.
No, but if he's like, follow the tip of the pen. Now,
who's watching who's top?
What about a tip now? Who what? The top, the bottom? I don't care.
You flirting with me, ma'am?
I'm sorry. I just sent Tidy off on a tangent. I'm not. You mind if I don't go with you on that one?
Absolutely. I tend to go, look, a butterfly quite a bit. So,
by the way,
that
is a trick question. If they hold up a pen and go, watch the tip, and if you go, which pen? They know.
Yeah, the one in the middle. They know.
You know, that, by the way, is the most common, they call it a field sobriety test, but that's the most common thing that officers do when they stop somebody investigating for DUI. They take a pen or a pencil, or they call it a stimulus.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave that one alone, Mom. I'm going to be a good girl.
And they move it across, you know, left to right. It's supposed to be 10, 12 inches away from a person's
Miles.
Eyes.
You're so dirty now. You know, what happened,
Frank?
To you?
I've got to look at you when I talk. When I talk about this,
we're like
he's blushing. I've never seen him blush before.
You should have seen her eyes light up. Oh man,
it's been a while.
But it's very common, and police officers think. And I'm still looking at you, Frank.
Here, you can use my wave my tip in front of her face.
Please, yeah.
Oh, like we haven't done that before.
You know, DUI is a very serious thing,
isn't it?
It is.
And anyway, police officers think they can tell if somebody's impaired by watching their eyeballs if their eyes jerk.
Oh, seriously, Miles.
If they reach a certain angle when it happens.
So
is it time to go to commercial break? Yeah.
Permanent commercial, Miles. Thank you. So if you're sober, you'll be able to follow it smoothly. If you're wasted, your eyes, they notch.
I can't hear a word. Now I can see you, but I can't hear you, Frosty. I'm sorry.
Oh,
no, I heard this.
Say it again.
When the tip of the pen gets, you're supposed to keep your head straight and follow it just with your eyes, right?
Correct.
Like I've never had this happen.
That's correct.
This happens to me all the time.
I love that you're playing dumb.
Like, yeah. Really? Now, what do they do?
How exactly does that work?
Do they cuff you? And then you're supposed to keep your head straight and move your eyes. And if your eyes get to the farthest point of where they can't move anymore, they might do like a little Twitter or whatever.
Dart or something.
Yeah, the eyes jerk if there's alcohol in your system. But actually, many people's eyes jerk who are alcohol-free. I mean, there's 4 or 5% of the population that have eyes that jerk.
And that's the loophole, right?
It's
that would be like...
or something.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, it's called horizontal gaze and nystagmus. I didn't want to get too technical. But they also
horizontal
do walk the
gaze-ness?
Line.
Wow.
Walk the line, finger the nose.
But you know, Miles,
maybe we should move off this one.
I have no balance. I couldn't walk a straight line right now.
Sober.
I'm like all top-heavy and wobbly and...
You know, people get really nervous when they're ordered out of their car and they're on the side of the road and requested to do field sobriety exercises, which, by the way, they're completely voluntary. People don't have to do them. And I call them field sobriety exercises because that's what they really are. They're exercises to see if a person is coordinated. But you're not your normal self. So, you know, field sobriety tests generally don't have much correlation in my mind, to whether or not somebody's driving under the influence.
And are more DUIs given at night? Than during the day?
Yes, of course. There's a lot more enforcement out at night. But again, well, checkpoints will start at dusk, you know, 8 o'clock at, you know, this time of year. But most of the people who get arrested for DUI do get arrested at nighttime, although we have had a number of people arrested in the morning after they were out the night before.
Oh, that's not fair.
So, well,
everybody's woken up and still been drunk, but home.
Here, think about this. A man or a woman goes out drinking, and this is not unique to men. I mean, it's men, women, all kinds of occupations, bankers, housewives, lawyers, doctors, even police officers. And we do actually represent police officers arrested for DUI. I know I was making a point and I forgot it.
No, you're like being arrested in the morning. Being arrested in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're talking my language.
So here's a man or a woman. They go out. They're drinking the night before. They're drinking responsibly.
Right.
I mean, even if they drink too much, they're not driving.
Mm-hmm.
They go home. They sleep 4, 5, 6 hours, 8 hours. They get up and they go to work and they leave. And they think they're doing the right thing. And they still have alcohol on board. I mean, you know, it's very it could be very tricky. I mean, the law in California, we all know, it's a .08. And for you, Frosty, probably would be, what do you like to drink? Beer? Wine?
Wine,
okay. So for you, it would probably be 3, 4 glasses of wine
for
could do it.
To get to .08.
Yeah, and by the way.
That's for a woman who's between 190 and 210.
I don't want to. Frosty weighs about 100, or Heidi Frey weighs probably around 120 pounds at the most.
Oh, how nice.
I love Miles.
Frosty, now that's a little bit of a different story.
Yeah, add a little more to that, so I should be able to drink a little more.
Oh, God.
Yes, you can.
You know what I don't like about this .08 thing is, if I understood from the last time we've talked, even though it's .08, they could still arrest me if I'm below that, if in their judgment I'm acting impaired.
Yes, .08 is one statute which they can charge people driving under the influence of alcohol and or drugs. The generic charge is the other one. I've seen people prosecuted as low as a .06. They're arresting people with a .07, .06, .05. And just because you're under the legal limit doesn't mean you're not subject to a full-blown prosecution.
Because it's still legal to drink and drive. So to have anything in your system.
It's not against the law to drink and drive. It's just that you're impaired or you have a 0.08 or greater in your system.
Okay.
But, you know, who knows how much alcohol it would take for them to be a 0.08? Nobody knows. None of my clients know.
And it depends on what you've eaten, right? Like if you had a big pasta dinner with wine as opposed to just wine on an empty stomach.
Have you ever had that happen to you in court when your opening statement or whatever and, like, you lost your spot like you did a second ago and you're like, oh, boy.
That's easy. There's always a court reporter there, and I ask the court reporter to read back what I just asked.
You ask him, who's my client?
Where am I?
Oh boy!
You know,
it's the briefcase
sitting next to Heidi.
Aww.
It is.
Miles, I have
hard
a question.
To concentrate. It's easy sitting next to her. Hard to concentrate.
I have a question. This really, really, I worry about this sometimes. If you are not over the limit because you've only had a couple beers and you live 2-3 minutes drive away from the bar, you know you can be home, and you have one for the road before you leave. Give me a shot of Jack. And you shoot that shot of Jack and give me a beer and you chug that beer because you want to enjoy the buzz when you get home. Now, you're not hadn't hit your system yet.
Yeah.
Right. And you're home in 120 seconds.
Right.
If you get stopped on the way home, they make you wait 15 minutes before they give you the test. By that time, it is in your system and you are drunk. But can't you go, yeah, but I wasn't when you pulled me over?
You know what? That is a very valid and classic defense. That when, at the time somebody was driving, they weren't over the limit. There's another issue. Now, you guys have heard me say for years that breath testing is based on voodoo science. When somebody is breath tested while they're still absorbing alcohol, in other words, their alcohol level is going up, breath testing is totally unreliable to determine the alcohol level in a person's blood. So without getting too involved into the science of it, there's a couple of different components to what you're talking about. Frosty, as far as drinking, recent drinking, and then you're driving. So, but people don't know this. You know, so many times they come into the office and they say, well, you know, a 0.13 and or a 0.16, I must be over the limit. Well, you know, that's assuming that the breath test is correct, and that's assuming that there's nothing else that will affect the result, which isn't true. We know this, and that's why we're so successful when we bring this information out to the juries. They realize that there's another side to all of this.
Well, because it's a big weekend, the Memorial Day weekend, you might have some questions for Miles about DUIs. So you can give us a call, 1-800-222-KABC. We'll be right back with more Miles L. Berman. We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 790 KABC. Same show, less fidelity.
Bourbon.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank with our special guest and friend of the show, Miles L. Berman. He's been with us for years and years and years.
Since the beginning.
He's the Top Gun DUI defense attorney. And so if you ever find yourself in a situation where you are in need of a Top Gun DUI defense attorney, you can always find Miles. You can go to FrostyHeidiAndFrank.com as a direct link to his page. And here's the phone number if you can't do that, 888-4-TOP-GUN. If you have any questions about DUIs or things that maybe in the past that you've been into that you want more information about, give us a call, 1-800-222-KABC.
Just go down the line, starting with Eric. Eric, in with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Hi, how are you guys doing? You guys, great show.
Thank you, Eric.
Miles L. Berman over there.
Hello, Eric.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Miles, had a question. Me and my cousin got pulled over coming out of a club.
Who was driving?
My cousin.
Okay.
And this car just pulled us over for nothing. My cousin was buzzing it, but he wasn't, like, drunk. And they pulled us over. Cops was like, oh, we pulled you over because you look fast. My cousin was like, did I look fast or was I going fast? And he was just like, no, you look fast. Let me see your license. So we basically got caught. We think he was posted at the by the bar just waiting for somebody to come out and pull him over.
Is that legal to do?
Well, yeah. I mean, police officers, when they're patrolling the streets looking for people who are drinking and driving, the most logical place to start out with is by places where they serve alcohol. So, as a matter of fact, when you guys did your show where was it? Way south of
Hooters
in County.
I was there. Lake Forest.
I don't know if you guys know it, but when I left, I saw police officers patrolling the parking lot area.
Oh, they listen.
So yeah, I mean it's kind of like a pre-built checkpoint. Where, you know, they know people are drinking and then driving, so there's not a problem with them There's nothing illegal that I know of.
Then, Miles,
I
mean, why don't they – see, if they hide, they're only going to catch one drunk at a time. If they were right there by the entrance to every bar at the end of happy hour, people would see them there and would call a cab, and they wouldn't have drunks on the road. So if they wanted to be deterrent, they got to make themselves known.
You probably wouldn't go to the bar then, would you?
Or you wouldn't leave the
ride when you leave.
You wouldn't leave the bar. You'd see, oh, I guess we'll stay for a couple more till the cops leave.
I'll sleep at the bar.
Yeah, you know, Frosty, you raise a really interesting point. If they – what I think you're suggesting is if they really want – to minimize or reduce the number of drunk drivers, they would have high presence,
yeah,
and people would see them.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that would discourage people from drinking and driving. You know, there may be some merit to that, but, you know, on the other hand, officers do have a desire to find people who they think are driving under the influence and arrest them.
They do that with banks, the empty police car at the bank. It's always sitting there, and it's like to prevent bank robberies.
There's
a cop car in the bank parking lot.
There's an empty police car that used to be on the west side, going up, I think, Coldwater Canyon in that area, and it does cause people to react and, you know, drive a little bit better. But, you know, there's only so many police officers to go around.
Our number is 1-800-222-KABC. Talking to Top Gun DUI defense attorney Miles L. Berman.
Didn't you suggest for us that they make like cardboard cop cars and just put them out where they actually look authentic and real, like in high def cardboard cop cars?
Just drive by at a certain speed, you wouldn't.
Then just park them.
In some places, they have them on the shoulder of the freeway. They're at the. I don't know if I've seen it in California, but I know in other parts of the country I've seen it.
Of course, the sun has faded it. It looks like
it's been rained on.
Yeah, it's
like
all wet.
It's a cop car from 82.
Old box in the garage.
Mike, you're with Frosty, Heidi Frank, and Miles L. Berman.
Good morning, counselor. How are you?
I'm fine, officer. How are you?
I've been a police officer now for almost 30 years, and I don't work in the L.A. area. I'm out in Orange County. And any of the people that I've actually arrested for DUI, or I have been involved with another officer in arresting somebody for DUI, I have yet to really see anybody get off. And pretty much it really isn't the blood alcohol content so much as it is people's intoxication level. You have people out there, they can probably drink 15, 20 beers in a couple of hours.
But enough about me, officer.
Yeah, officer, have you testified in court in a jury trial in a DUI case?
I'm sorry, say again?
Have you testified in court? How many times a year do you testify in court on a DUI case in a jury trial?
Actually, it's probably been a couple years since I've actually had to testify, and it's one of those things where I'd rather have a sharp stick in the eye than testify at a DUI trial.
Yeah, it can be very grueling when you're testifying at a DUI trial. But we're successful in Orange County as well. We've had clients who've been acquitted in Orange County, so we may not have had a case, or you haven't had a case with our office. But I can assure you that that juries acquit. It's not an unusual thing for juries to acquit for DUI or other types of crimes.
But what is the most common defense? I mean, if I have a DUI and I go to you, Miles, and it's like, okay, well, let's take this to a jury. You know, what defense do I have where it's like, as long as I don't wear a lampshade on my head into there, I mean, am I saying that I wasn't drunk or that I didn't have that much or it was a false reading? I mean, what's the most common defense that you use or that has worked?
Well, it's basically two elements. First, you got the driving and field sobriety test. We'll call that as one element. And that part of it, you know, oftentimes, like, let's say somebody's speeding. They're going 85 miles an hour on a freeway and that sounds pretty bad, but really speeding is not a factor associated with driving under the influence. And when you're speeding, you're driving straight down the road. Then when the officer lights you up and pulls you pull over safely. You get out of the car easily. You do the field sobriety test to the officer's instructions as best you can. And so oftentimes what the officers write down in the reports and how the testimony comes out in cross-examination is two different things. Mm. So we go into a lot of things that the officer doesn't put in the reports or testifies to on direct examination.
Meaning if I'm legally drunk, and on paper it looks like I'm legally drunk, but when you pulled me over, I did everything you asked me to do. I passed with flying colors. I did ABCs backwards and every other one or whatever they asked me to do. It was fine. So on paper it's like if she was legally drunk, but she passed everything I asked her to do.
Well, on paper, it could come down like that.
Okay.
Or it could be the officer just writes it up in a slanted way so that it makes the person look bad. But we can read the reports. We can see where the officer is coming from. And we know we have a pretty good idea where we could show all the good things which our client did to actually show he's not under the influence.
Now, Miles, I'm just ahead of calls, I know that you've recommended, you have said you do not have to take the field sobriety test, the breathalyzer. But if you refuse to do that and say, I'm not going to do it, doesn't that make you look guilty? And doesn't that come back and haunt you later?
All right. Well, first of all, if you're older than 21, you know, you don't have to do the portable breath test before you're arrested. And field sobriety tests are completely voluntary. If you don't do any of that stuff, you think that the officer would do that, want you to do that because they're trying to develop probable cause. So if you don't give them that information, you would think that they don't have probable cause. But you're right. They still will keep going, and they will still ask, if they place you under arrest, they'll still ask you to take a breath or a blood test. So if you refuse everything, and I'm not advising people what they should or shouldn't do. But, you know, if there is refusal of everything, there is less evidence for them to convict. But then you got a problem with the DMV, because the DMV, on a first offense, the DMV is going to require you to, if you refuse a test, the state law requires you to take the test, take a breath or a blood test. If you refuse, your license could possibly be suspended for a year.
Oh,
flat out year.
So basically, just get drunk.
You could use that, Frosty. Yeah, why don't you just refuse all the tests and start biking everywhere? You could really use bicycle.
It'd be a bigger hazard, I think, on a bike.
Better make it a bicycle built for two.
It's still, you know, breath testing still is in my judgment, based on voodoo science. And we know the science, and we're intimately knowledgeable about it. But, you know, you think, most people think, well, the government, it's the government's machine, and therefore it must be correct. But we know what's recently going on in down south in the Gulf, that the government isn't always on top of things or doesn't necessarily always
have the right answer.
Doing.
Yep.
Correct.
1-800-222-KABC. Miles L. Berman is with us. Top Gun DUI defense attorney, Miles L. Berman. Stephanie, you're on with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Miles. I just have a quick question.
Well, hello, Stephanie. I got a better high than you guys did.
I know. Well, I just was wondering, I never personally drink and drive, and I know a lot of people that have had DUIs. I know it's a big pain in the butt. It's totally not worth it. But what would happen if, per se, one was to be under the influence of, you know, a little bit of Mary Jane and get pulled over and suspected for that? Like, what happens and what are the ramifications?
You handle that as well?
Yes, driving under the influence of alcohol and or drugs, or just straight driving under the influence of drugs, be it marijuana or any other, you know, cocaine or whatever. I'll tell you something that's really interesting, and I still don't understand why it is. If somebody gets pulled over for DUI, the officer, and they blow in a point of weight or greater, the officer takes their license and gives them a temporary license. Mm-hmm. Another person gets pulled over for DUI. They're 0-0, have no alcohol, but they're under the officer suspects marijuana. They'll do a blood test. They don't take the license. It's only for alcohol that you have a DMV proceeding in companion with a DUI case.
Is there any field test for? I mean, is it different for drunk than the guy on marijuana? It's like you follow a pen with your eyes when you're drunk, but you follow a bag of Funyuns with your eyes if you're on marijuana.
If you can follow it really closely,
Surprisingly, the investigation for marijuana is very similar to the investigation for DUI alcohol. But they also have what's called a pupillometer, where they take like a piece of cardboard and they put it up against your eyes and try to compare the size of your pupils with circles that are on this pupillometer.
How do they carry all this stuff? The pupillometer, I got my pen, I got my breathalyzer, my gun, my belly
stick. It's all in the belt, Frank. It's all in the belt.
They have all that stuff. So, you know, but it's more difficult for the state to prove a marijuana case or a drug case.
Oh, Frank started the applause.
Driving under the influence than it is alcohol. And the logic, I mean, is very simple to see once it's pointed out. There's a lot of studies for alcohol, and a lot of cops get dosed up and they drink and then they drive and then they do studies to see how coordinated they are and how they drive. It's illegal to ingest drugs. So there really aren't studies to correlate impairment with drugs and driving.
Well, thank you, Miles, for coming in. As like I said, it's a big weekend. If you find yourself in need and you need to call Miles, his number 888-4-TOP-GUN. Put that in your wallet right now, right behind your driver's license. It's a great place to keep it.
Yep.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you for being a huge supporter.
Thank you for having me here. I'm glad I was here, and great to see you guys. And I want everybody to have a safe and sober holiday weekend.
Thank you, man.
Now finish your Jameson, and then we'll go to commercial.